It's just Marina Rav Shlita, a very hearty mazel tov to family Friedman, to David on his new grandson, to Benji on his new son, who's British today, and Tisku Lagada Latera Lachupa Lamaisin Tovin, mazel tov. I thought I should also mention, on a less happy note, the passing of our very dear friend Louis Obermeister, Zichrono Livracha, who left us during the course of the last month, and he was a very regular attendee of our bagel breakfast shirim. He will be sorely missed. He was also very active in other things in the Kehillah. I know he engineered the Kollel on Sundays, and which is also at other times, and he did architectural work for the shul and lots of other things, and he should be a Melitz Yosher for his family and for all of us. Our fourth and final series on Tehillim, of Tefillin. I've been influenced by Gershon, who's sitting on my right hand side, who's the expert on Tehillim. There are one or two practical issues which I was going to mention in earlier shiurim which I didn't get round to, so I'll just briefly mention those. My main topic today is Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin and Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I was chatting with the Rav Shlita, who actually has samples of Ratsuas which are made out of plastic, that there's so much fraud going on in the market. We did mention this already in our first year about the fraud which goes on, that there are people who buy tefillin which are forgeries, which are not handwritten. Once I went into a shop in Tel Aviv, I wanted to buy some mezuzah cases, but my Ivrit wasn't very good, so I just simply asked whether he sells mezuzahs, and the fellow said to me in Ivrit, "Tefus or Ktaviyad? Do you want printed or do you want handwritten?" I said to him, "What are you talking about? Printed is possible." He said, "Yes, but it's cheaper." And the problem is the same with tefillin. There are various frauds going on the market. They get these plastic things made in China, and people think that they're wearing kosher tefillin, and it's very important to buy from a very reliable dealer from recommendation. Another practical idea which I was going to mention about tefillin is that it's always wise to take your tefillin with you when you're going on a long journey, even if you intend to come back on the same day, because you never know, you might get stuck, and if you're stuck, then the following morning you'll be left without your tefillin, and even if you think you can borrow a pair, yes, that's all very well, but the guy who you're borrowing from might be much bigger than you, and the knots are different, and it might not fit you properly, and if it's not worn properly, it's not no good. So it's a good idea to take tefillin with you when you travel. Another practical idea is, when you are traveling, the problem is that when you go into public conveniences and you've got your tefillin with you, you don't really want to take your tefillin into a toilet. But what do? You can't leave them outside in this day and age of security and thieves. So what do you do? And there is, in fact, a Gemara in Brachos, Chof Gimel, Amud Aleph, about the problem where a student left his tefillin outside, left them in a little hole in the road, and an Isha Zona, a woman of ill repute, found them, and she went around parading them to everybody, saying, "Look what I got for my services." And the student was so distraught, he jumped off the roof. So you just simply wrap your tefillin up in an extra bag, and that's good enough. You don't leave them outside. Another practical issue is, be careful not to drop your tefillin. We do treat tefillin like a sefer Torah, and if you do drop your tefillin, particularly when they're unwrapped, you should fast afterwards. Obviously, if a person can't fast, then you should give tzedakah. And if the tefillin are wrapped up in their casing and in their bag, it's less serious, but even then, there are those who say you should fast afterwards, or at least give tzedakah. Those are just a few practical points. The subject I'm coming really to today is Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And often if you go into a shtiebel, you will see people taking off their tefillin and putting on another pair. You don't see it so much in the Ashkenazi, Yekish or Litvish shuls, but it is a very widespread custom. And even if we don't put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin ourselves, we should really be asking ourselves, why don't we wear them ourselves? You know, if they are something which is regarded by many as something which is so important. And the whole thing is based on a Gemara in Menachos Lamed Daled. There it says, Tana Rabbanan, Keis HaSidron. How do you put out the order of the parshias which you inscribe inside the tefillin? So the Gemara says what they are, Kaddish Likol Bechor and Vahoyo Kivyachol, which incidentally are from this week's Sedra, Parshas Bo. And in addition to those two, Shema, which is from the Parshas Vayetzchanon, and Vahoyo Shema, which is from Parshas Eken. So it's in that order. And you have to have the right kavana when you put them in that order, otherwise it's not kosher. Kaddish Likol Bechor, Vahoyo Kivyachol, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lakein Hashem Echod, and Vahoyo Im Shema. Those are the four parshias. So the Gemara actually asks, didn't we learn that you put them in the other way round? And there's discussion there about, well, what do we mean by the right hand side and what do we mean by the left hand side? Because when you look out for yourself, your right is different to the person who's looking towards you, your right is his left. So there's a debate about this in the Gemara. So really, your right is my left and my left is your right. But the Gemara says, Kare Kasidron. And it should be read in the order. What's the order? Says Rashi says, Kaseda Shehem Kesuvim Batorah. So the order in which they're written in the Torah, that's the way you write the Parshias. So this week we got Parshas Bo, and we got Kaddish Likabacha, and then we got Vayaki Viacho, so they're in that order. And then you get Parshas Vayetzchanon, and then Parshas Eken, so that's the order they're written in the Torah. That is the reason why we have our Parshias in that order, according to what we call the Rashi Tefillin. We'll deal more with Rashi in a bit later. But Rabbeinu Tam asks, well, why is it that the Gemara seems to deal with these four parshas in two sets? That one set is Kaddish Li V'Hoyo Ki V'Yachot, and the other set is Shema V'Hoyo Mishmoah. And so the view of Rabbeinu Tam is that the Shema and V'Hoyo Mishmoah should be interchanged in the place that they're written, not in the way that in the place that they're inserted. Where you are writing the parshias, Mishnah Berurah makes it clear, you write them in the order of Rashi and in the order that they're written in the Torah, but when you insert them in the boxes, so to speak, so you'll say to me, what about the Shel Yad? It's all one cloth. With the Shel Rosh, they're four different parshias, four different compartments. So you can quite easily put in Kaddish Likabachor, Vayaki V'Yachor, and then for Rabbeinu Tam, Vayim Shema and then Shema, the other way around. But what do you do when you're writing it out as a class? So the Rabbeinu Tamniks will say, well, when the third one is due to be written, the sofa leaves a space, and then he writes at the end after the space the Shema, then afterwards he writes Vayim Shema. So what is the reason for Rabbeinu Tam that he wants to do this? I had some difficulty finding some sfora to explain Rabbeinu Tam. His general idea is this, that his middle parshias, number 2 and number 3, both start with V'hoyo. So V'hoyo Ki V'Yacho and V'hoyo Im Shemoah. What's the special significance about V'hoyo? Havayo. Havayo, the idea of the present tense. V'hoyo is the general concept of being, of existence. And it's the same letters as Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vov, Ke. So Rabbeinu Tam is basically saying we see Hashem as the center of our existence, as the purpose of our existence. So it's the center of the tefillin. So you got your Kaddish Likabachor, then V'Hoyo Ki V'Yachol, V'Hoyo being Shem Havayo, and then V'Hoyo Shema Shem Havayo. So those are on the center, and then the Shema. That's the idea of Rabbeinu Tam.
Why should Rabbeinu Tam have come along and change everything that happened before him?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because the truth is he did not change everything that happened before. Although there is this story that when he was a little kid, he got on his grandfather's lap because he was a grandson of Rashi, and he knocked his grandfather's tefillin off his head, which was seen as something very symbolic. But the actual machlokas was much earlier. If you look in Tosfos on that Gemara there in Menachos Lamed Dalad, Tosfos remarks that the Chein Reb Haigon had the same svara. So Reb Haigon, the Gaonim, were at least 200 or 300 years before the Rishonim, and they had this svara about putting the parshas in the Rabbeinu Tam order. And if you look in the Mechilta, which is very early on, there it's mashma that you go according to Rashi. It lists the Rashi parshias, but the Rishalmi on Menachos actually lists them according to Rabbeinu Tam. Now, there are those who will say that the Yerushalmi on Kochim is a forgery, as Menachos is part of Kochim, but it's generally held that the text which we have on Yerushalmi Menachos is not a forgery, and there it's alluding towards Rabbeinu Tam. So the Machlokis was brought forward over the generations into the Rishonim, but it indeed happened much earlier. You could say, how could such an argument happen? I mean, Jews wear tefillin every day, or at least half the population, the men do. So what's going on? Why should there be anything forgotten? There's a simple way to discover. Look in pairs of old tefillin, and why is it that such a thing became forgotten over the centuries? The Achronim who deal with this question, and they say, look, tefillin is something which is hidden inside the box. You don't actually see them. It's very rare for people to have seen their own parshias. They buy a pair of tefillin, they don't look inside. Certainly, I've had sight of my parshias and my son's parshias, which had a computer check before they were inserted and so on. But nevertheless, because people don't know what's inside their boxes, things get forgotten. And there's another thing. Rav Shrua Gaon, who was already 1,000 years ago, he remarked that there were many years in our Golus when people were not able to wear tefillin. There was Gezeres Hashmad. People were going to be punished by death if they wear tefillin. And so in many years, tefillin was not worn. What about in communist Russia between the years of 1917 and 1990? There were many Jewish people who were keeping Shabbos and Kashrus secretly, but they were not wearing tefillin. They were not able to. So, and in Eretz Yisrael, you know, for thousands of years, Eretz Yisrael was occupied a territory by non-Jewish people. And so we were thrown around from one golus to another. There were breaks in our Kabbalah, hence the idea of the differences of opinion. So, the problem with Rabbeinu Tam is, are we meant to wear them or not? And why is it that there's such a difference of Hasidim and Misnagdim? You'll generally find amongst the Sfardim and amongst the Hasidim that they wear Rabbeinu Tam, but the Ashkenazim generally don't. The Ari HaKadosh actually wore both pairs together. And that might sound rather surprising. You might even ask about Baltosis. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about having a Tanai, that if you're wearing two pairs together, you'll say, well, I have in mind that whichever pair is kosher, that is the one I'm wearing for the mitzvah, and the other one is just an ornament. So that's the Tanai. So I've got kavana not to be yotzer from both, otherwise there might be a baltosif. But the Shulchan Aruch in Lamed Daled Amud Aleph seems to sympathize a lot. Rabbi Yosef Karo, who's writing for the Sfardim, and he writes a very interesting idea. Let me quote from a Shulchan Aruch Lamed Daled. He says, Uminaga Olam, that we go according to the Rashi and the Rambam. We go according to the Parshias as they're written in the Torah. And then he says in Sif Beis, Yorei Shemaim Yotza Yidei Shneihem, Yetza Yidei Shneihem, a person who's a fear on heaven should be wearing both. V'yasa Shtei Zugos Tefillin, someone has two different pairs of tefillin, V'yoniach Shneihem, and one wears both of them. Now what does that mean, one wears both of them? Meforshim say it means that you're wearing them at the same time. You're wearing the two pairs together, two here and two there. Because we know from the Gemara, the Mishnah and Gemara, the last Perek of Eruvin, that there's enough space on your head and on your arms to wear two pairs of tefillin. We learn this in connection with when you find them in the street on Shabbos and you bring them in. Well, how do you bring them in? You wear them. So you can wear two pairs at a time, going in two by two. Not the animals in the ark, but the tefillin on Shabbos. So two by two. So that is v'oniach shenayim, because mochem yesh barosh l'oniach shtei zugos. V'im eini odea, but if he doesn't... I'm just quoting here. If you haven't got enough space, because some people wear very big boxes of tefillin, giant pairs, very careful, you have to have them above the hairline. So if you haven't got the space, so you wear one pair at a time. So the general minhag has become that the Hasidim only wear one pair at a time. They wear one pair, and then the end of Shacharis they put on a second pair.
Yeah, but it's so, the repetition. Not supposed to do it then.
Yeah. Right, Rav Moshe Feinstein says one should not take off the Rashi tefillin earlier than necessary, because then when you put on Rabbeinu's tum, you're doing them at Rashi's expense. So he says that if you're going to whip them off during the Chazasa Shatz, which you often see them doing, that's wrong, because you'd normally keep your Rashi tefillin on till the end of Shachris. So you should wait till the end of Shachris, then take off Rashi, then put on Rabbeinu's tum.
And then you've got to say something.
Say the Shema again. So what? Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch, then in Sif Gimel, he says, Lo Yasekein, one should not do this, El Mishem Muchzak Umafursom Bachasidus. A person should only be doing this. Now, what does that mean? There's some ambiguity about that phrase of Lo Yasekein. So the Ashkenazim and the Misnagdim take this phrase to mean, you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, unless Misha Muchzak or Mefursam Bachasidus. Somebody who is established and known to be into Chasidus, Chasidus, not what we mean the Chasidic movement, which came after the Shulchan Aruch. Chasidus means somebody who's engaged in very in intense piety, and Mefursam, and who's famous for it, because otherwise you're a show off. The Shulchan Aruch is very worried about showing off. Michzik Yohara. And the person shouldn't show up in front of others, so that he's nervous about you putting on your tefillin in front of everybody else when you're putting on Rabbeinu Tam. Because he's saying, see everybody, here, look, I'm a Groyser Chosid, I'm wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And that's not the way to behave in Yiddishkeit. If you really want to do something when you're Muchzak and Mefursam Achasidus, do it privately, at home, do it in your living room where nobody else can see you. But in the middle of Shul, is that the right thing to do? So that is the dilemma which the Shulchan Aruch faces. So what is the opinion of the Hasidim on this phrase, Lo Yasekein? Are the Hasidim standing up saying, we are all Muksak and Mefursam Bachasidus? Are they saying, yeah, we are the Groyser Frumus? No, that's not what they're trying to say. The Hasidim say, it says Lo Yasekein. They say Lo Yasekein refers to wearing the two at the same time. Saying that is somebody who's Muksak and Mefursam Bachasidus. But if you don't hold and establish that you're Muksak and Mefursam Bachasidus, okay, then you wear one after another. You take one off and then you put the other one on. And they hold that that's the right thing to do. So it's an ongoing kind of machlokas, but the Vilna Gaon's attitude, quoted by Reb Chaim Volozhin in Maaseh Rav, is that Reb Vilna Gaon said, look, I've got 64 different shittas as to how the tefillin should be prepared, how they should be written, and how they should be inserted in boxes. Are you going to suggest that we've got to make 64 different pairs of tefillin and put them all on? So the Vilna Gaon would not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And so the Literature Gedolim never wore Rabbeinu Tam, and the Stipler Gaon never wore tefillin, but somebody once gave him as a present Rabbeinu Tam, so he started wearing them after that, in addition, of course, to Rashi. Now the Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Vayera claims that Jewish people were wearing two pairs of tefillin since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is an amazing chiddush. It's a das yochid, but to suggest that, you know, both Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi are right, but he says, look, it's based on the fact that we're told by Chazal that there's enough space for two pairs of tefillin. So if there's enough space, then grab it. You know, if the opportunity arises, use it. So that's the opinion of the Ben Ish Chai, but he's a das yochid on the matter.
The Torah says,
you put them on your hand, you put them on your arm. Well, it can be interpreted differently.
No, it's not a matter tonight. If the Torah means you to have one pair of tefillin, one on your hand, one on your head, you don't put on two.
The Torah always says keep 7 days of sukkahs and we keep eight.
Okay, somebody's hand is up. Just a moment, listen, please. Yes.
Now, how is that the Shemayim, what we hold like? Hashem said you hold like
a
little
tongue,
and
the
whole
Shemayim
says like a little
tongue.
Right,
there's a machlokas in Shemayim, and they're holding that in Shemayim one wears Rabbeinu Tam, yes? And that down here we wear Rashi. I think that's the conclusion.
It's the Shuvah from Shalos Shuvahs from Hashemayim. The very first one in that Shuvah, Shalos Shuvahs from Hashemayim.
Shalos Shuvahs from Hashemayim.
One of the Rishonim.
Oh, well, yeah. How's the post-Gemara
in Shemayim? And the response he got was, it's a machlik is here too.
Shkoyach. Now the Drisha on the tour in Siman Lama Dalad.
Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu had one intention in mind.
Yes, definitely.
So if HaKadosh Baruch the body.
I think the way we have to look at it is that machlokas of Hillel and Shammai, Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and the halacha kabeis Hillel. They are both saying at the Shem Shemaim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about why is there machlokas nowadays, it's Yiridas Hadoros, and the truth is that we must have had some Masorah which was lost. So that is why there's a difference of opinion. But the truth is that everyone who wears Rabbeinu Tam agrees that you have to wear Rashi. That Rashi is the Ikka. And they're only saying that just as a precaution, they're wearing Rabbeinu Tam as well. But they will agree that you have to wear the Rashi Tefillin first.
If you only wear Rashi, you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam, have you fulfilled your mitzvah of putting on Tefillin? That is the question. If you have, there's no issue. So you have this mode of any time, no problem.
Alright, it's the idea of Hidur of being alright, well, you're going like the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, look, you know, I've got 64 different opinions. I'm going to stick to Rashi, and that's it. So, fine, you've got a lot in common with the Vilna Gaon. Right, let's move on. The Drisha on the tour in Siman Lamadalud, in the name of the Smug, talks about the Smug having gone to the grave of Yecheskel Hanovi and finding there under the soil a pair of tefillin. So he looked inside it and he said the parshiyos are written in the order of Rashi. And he said, surely that's a proof that if these were the tefillin of Yecheskel HaNovi, and Yecheskel HaNovi must have known what the right order is, there is a proof that you go according to Rashi. But the Drisha asks a rather cynical question. He says, why were those tefillin buried? You see, if you find something which is not kosher, kisvei yod, then you bury them. So maybe that's a proof that they were not kosher, because they weren't right. So the Bach says, hold on a minute, what's the problem? Why did they have to be buried? If the parshiyos were in the wrong order, then why couldn't they just switch the parshiyos? Instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, make 1, 2, 4, 3. What's the big deal?
It's not on the show, yeah.
Why bury them?
Alright,
not on the show, yeah, but at least on the show, Rosh. So Rabbi Kiva Eger got an interesting teshuva about this in Siman Ches, in Shalos HaTshuvos. And this Bach, he says, is a very important Bach, because, you know, if the simple idea is just to switch it, then obviously switching it would have been no good, because the fact is they were buried, assuming that they were possible. And so he brings out from this the idea, another rule, that if they were written wrongly, or they were inserted wrongly, then it was not done nishma according to the mitzvah. And if they were not done nishma according to the mitzvah, then they're no good. But what if they're written the shame mitzvah to fill in? Don't tell me they're not kosher lishma. So he says, there's an inyan of Malib HaKodesh V'ein Meridin, that if the Rabbeinu Tam to fill in are found and they're not considered to be the right order, if you do switch them round according to what the Bach says, then you are putting something of a lesser Kedusha into something of a higher Kedusha. But according to some, it might be the other way round. You might be putting something of a higher Kedusha into a lesser Kedusha, and therefore you can't fiddle around. So that is the discussion. But there is a minhag that if you do have Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, you should be very careful not to confuse the two, and they should be smaller. Mishnah Berurah suggests they should be smaller bottom than the other, and clearly labelled, of course, and definitely kept in separate tefillin bags. Certainly the idea of a tefillin bag is a very holy thing. A talis bag can go into Seamus, but a talis bag can be disposed of, but a tefillin bag should go into Seamus when you dispose of it, because it's got a very important Kedusha, and you shouldn't keep anything in your tefillin bag apart from the tefillin themselves. Some people have a custom to keep a little mirror in their tefillin bag so that they can check, but really it's wrong to keep even a mirror inside your tefillin bag, because nothing else should be kept inside such a place of Kedusha. The minhag is to wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin after one gets married. Now, why is that? The exception to that are Chabadniks. They do give Rabbeinu Tam to the Bochrim when they become the mitzvah. It's a big expense. But the minhag is to wear it when one gets married. Now, why is that? Now, in Siman Lamed Ches, if Dalud, it talks about a halacha which we have discussed already earlier in our series. Tzorich lezayin mehiru tavas isha. There is a problem of not only secular thoughts, but immoral thoughts when one is wearing tefillin. And the Rambam says, v'imi efsha, if a person is unable to control his thoughts, it's better Shalolanichom. Better don't wear them at all, because it's a real desecration if one is wearing tefillin and one is having immoral thoughts. So the whole idea is that we're assuming that once a person is married, pas pasillo, he is less likely to have immoral thoughts, and therefore he can have the license to wear the rabbeinu tam tefillin, because we're not going to wear tefillin more than is absolutely necessary. Early on in the series we spoke about wearing tefillin the whole day long, which is not an advisory thing to do. You whip them off after 35-40 minutes and you done your job, but not the whole day. So whereas with lulav or sukkah, you can carry your lulav around the whole day, you can sit in the sukkah the whole day, you can eat matzah the whole day, and you're not doing anything wrong as a result of lengthening that mitzvah. But tefillin has that downside. We described it like a nuclear bomb. And therefore, you limit the amount you wear tefillin, hence the idea of the rabbeinu tam only after marriage, and not to wear it beforehand because you're asking for trouble. So there is no real clear-cut tradition other than you go according to what your father did or what your Rebbe does to keep up a tradition, whether to wear just Rashi or also to wear Rabbeinu Tam as well. I may have mentioned my great uncle who was a Dayan on the Adas Beis Din, who was asked, why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? He said, why should I? And he was told, because you are Muchsak and Mufusam Bachasidus. He said, thank you, that's all I need to hear when I go up to Shemayim. If I'm accused of having been Muchsak and Mufusam Bachasidus, then I've got no problems. He would not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Have you got your hand up?
Yes.
Yes?
I heard you're not supposed to with the boxes of chairs. You have to be very careful to mix them up.
Yeah. Very careful not to mix them up. That's why you have them a smaller size or different labels, because you don't want to wear Rabbeinu Tam for the Ikka. Let's move on now. I want to deal with Chol HaMoed. This is something which is more nogea to all of us, because you go into a shul, some people are wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, some people are not, and one isn't always sure what should be done. In one shul, I know in Manchester, in Machzik HaDas, they have a notice on the board telling people of a tefillin minyan, so that there's no dissension and differences in one minyan, that everybody who's wearing tefillin goes to one minyan. And I started davening in a shtiebel which opened up very close to my home, the Sadiger shtiebel, and the Hasidish minhag is not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and I had it handed down to me to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So I went up to the Rav and I asked for permission to wear tefillin in his Beit HaMidrash, and he said to me, I'm sorry, I cannot give permission, we find it very insulting, and we would like it that nobody wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed in our Beit HaMidrash. So what do? If I'm done with them, I can only lay them afterwards privately at home.
Go to monks.
Yeah, that's the problem with lazy people like me.
The Rav here, when he first came, was trying to get a consensus here that everybody should put on tefillin.
Right.
Some people who didn't put on tefillin were very upset.
Well, it's very difficult. So what is the source for all this machlokes? Again, you think something which is so important, we should know from generations ago, what's the right thing to do? So Gemara Menachos Lamed Vav Amud Beis talks about that the tefillin is an os, a sign. Yotzi Shabbos is v'yomim tovim shein gufon os. Shabbos and Yom Tov is called os, a sign. Therefore, since tefillin is an os and Shabbos is an os, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, you don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov. So the question is tefillin on Chol HaMoed in conflict with that? Is Chol HaMoed an os? Because it's a Yom Tov in a way, but you say to me, but I go to work on Chol HaMoed. So what is Chol HaMoed? What is its status? And that is the problem. So the truth is that there is an os on Chol HaMoed, surely, because on Chol HaMoed we say Hallel. We don't do Melocha unless it's really necessary. Right. For Dovah Ovud, for a loss, you can do Melocha on Chol HaMoed. And what about the other mitzvahs of Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Sadim and the Hasidim, they'll say, look, you know, you've got Matzah on Pesach, you've got the Isser of Chometz on Pesach, we've got Lulav, you've got Sukkah on Sukkot. These are called Os. So you're doing those on Chol HaMoed as well. So even if you're even if you are going, even if you're going to work on Chol HaMoed, that's only because you are forced to for particular reasons, but you've still got these osos on Chol HaMoed, which are being kept. And there's the other things, you've got Kavod Musaf and the Din of Re'iyah and the Chagiga, you've got those things going on Chol HaMoed as well. So if that's the case, if Chol HaMoed is an os, then why should you be wearing tefillin? So there's machlokes Rishonim on this. The Rashba writes in his Tshuvas, Tov Reish Tzadi in Chelek Aleph, he says, sorry, Ein Menichim, you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why? Shagam Heim Os. You've got the Os on Chol HaMoed of Yom Tov. And what about Malacha? He says, yeah, but Malacha is only Mutav Adova Ovud. They're exceptions, but the general rule is you don't do malacha. Oh, you drive a car? Yeah, but it's the Surah Yom Tov. You can an outing with the children, so it's allowed on Chol HaMoed. You can make a phone call on Chol HaMoed. Why? It's the Surah Yom Tov. It's fine. But something which doesn't have to be done at all, to decorate your front room, is absolutely osur on Chol HaMoed. To do your gardening, to trim the hedge, it's absolutely forbidden on Chol HaMoed. And it's in a daraisa, according to most views. Well, we'll come to that. So that's according to the Rashba. That is an Issa Daraisa, to trim your hedge on Chol HaMoed. So there's an Os here, and you don't wear tefillin. And similarly, the Bahag is of this view, and Moi Kot and Yotess, and the Re, you don't wear tefillin. Comes along the Rosh, who is also a Rishon, and he says the opposite. He says, it's true you don't do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, but he says the Issa of Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Issa Darabonon. So it's still not allowed, but under the Torah radar, so to speak, there's no Issa Malacha. So there isn't such an Os, and therefore you wear tefillin. Some people have this myth that if you go to work Chol HaMoed, then you should wear tefillin, and if you don't go to work, you don't wear tefillin. But that's not really correct, because both according to the Rosh and the Rashba, there is an Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed, albeit one is Daraisa and one is Rabbanon. There's an Issa Malacha. So that is the machlokas, and according to the Rosh, you wear, and Marami Rosenberg says you wear, the Ozerua says you wear, that there's no Os. The Mishkan of Yaakov in Lamed Zayin has a slightly different approach. He quotes the Rosh in the Nochas Lamed Zayin. He says, what is the idea of Os? It's a sign between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people of Israel. He says it's not because that you don't do malacha. It's nothing to do with that. It's that Shabbos is called Os, and Yom Tov is also like Shabbos, because there is a terminology given to Yom Tov of Shabbos. So simply that's its name, and we never ever found that Chol HaMoed was given the description of Shabbos. And he quotes a pasuk. There's the Bayom HaRishon Shabboson, the Bayom HaShvi'i Shabboson. The first day is Shabboson, the last day is Shabboson, which are Mikra Kodesh, and the days in between are not called Shabboson. So he says, therefore, the days in between, Chol HaMoed, you wear tefillin. And he says, the mon did not fall on Shabbos, it did not fall on Yom Tov, but he says it fell on Chol HaMoed, and therefore there was no os on Chol HaMoed. So it's quite a hot debate. Somi Rosh says it's nothing to do with Malacha. He even says Shemitah is also called Shabbos, and Shemitah, a whole year you're not doing Malacha on the ground. So are you going to suggest you don't wear tefillin for a whole year, even 2 years when it's tied up with the Ovel? Obviously not. But Shemitah is a din of the karka, it's not a din of the person. Shabbos is a din on the person. Difference between the Gavra and the Chefta, but that's another drasha. Once the Ponovitch Arov went up to a tree in the Shmita and gave it a kiss and said to the tree, good Shabbos. Anyway, there's an interesting Rashi in Gemara in Sukkah in Mem Vov. The Gemara in Sukkah in Mem Vov says, Hoyulafon of Mitzvot Harbeh, if you've got a lot of Mitzvot in front of you, it says you can say Brochus collectively, one Brocha on all of them. Mavorech Hashekin Ashonim in Sosov Al HaMitzvot. You don't have to say a mitzvah on each individual one. So Rashi there says something amazing. He says, giving an example of what mitzvahs do you have in front of you, Lita Luluv, Leshev Basuka, Lohaniach Tefillin, or Lisatif Batzitzis. So in front of you at the same time, you've got the mitzvahs of Luluv and Sukkah and Tefillin. Horaya from Rashi, that you've got a mitzvah of Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. It can only happen there. There will be others who say, no, that's not necessarily the case, because that's to do when you're wearing. And the Das Torah, who's the Brizhen Arov, who's Hasidish, looks at this opinion, which is brought in Hilchos Tefillin Lamed Aleph, and he says, no, he says, this business of Hoy Lefonov Mitzvah Sarbei, the one who says in the Gemara that you make a bracha on every separate mitzvah is Rabbi Yehuda. The one who holds that you make one bracha on the whole lot is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that you can wear tefillin on Shabbos. He says there is a mitzvah tefillin on Shabbos. So he is the one who says you make a bracha over the whole lot. So Rashi is simply going according to Rabbi Meir, and therefore that Rashi has no proof. Anyway, Beis Yosef says va'achshov, and nowadays, as if to imply that it wasn't always the case, negu kol b'nei Sfarad, all the B'nai Sfarad do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But the Rosh says Osur. Came along Rav Shimon Bar Yochai with a Zohar, and he said, Osur, according to the Zohar, it is absolutely forbidden. Not that you don't wear tefillin, that it's forbidden to. It's an insult to the Yom Tov. And since there is nothing written in all Gemara Bavli or Yerushalmi as to whether you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, he says, we paskim like the Zohar. The Beis Yosef in the Torah, Lamed Aleph, he says, we paskin like the Zohar. So, and the Ramah comes along and says, V'yeshemim shechayev b'tfilin. Some say you should wear tfilin. V'chein noagin, the Ashkenazim have the custom. U'mavarech, and he even says you make the brocha, which is not the minhag brought by the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz, that you don't make a brocha when you put on tfilin or Chol HaMoed, when you go according to the Ramah. So the Hasidim and Misnagdim have this difference. Generally speaking, the Hasidim, what is the difference between Hasidim and Misnagdim? It's not simply the way they dress and so on. The truth is that when there's a conflict between Shulchan Aruch and Zohar, there are very, very few instances, I believe there are only three examples, that the Hasidim paskin like the Zohar, and the Misnagdim paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. There is another difference between Hasidim and Misnagdim. Anyone know what that is? On Shabbos, between Mincha and Maariv, the Misnagdim, they learn Shas and Toskim. And the Hasidim indulge in Pas and Shoskim. All right. Without disrespect to Hasidim. When they have their Shalashudas, the Rebbe speaks, the Rav speaks, and there's a Dvar Torah, so they deal with Torah as well. But so there's no reason to be cynical. There are the different customs between the Misnagdim and the Hasidim.
Could you not make the Tanai if you...
Yes, when you put tefillin on Chol HaMoed, you say, if I'm supposed to be wearing the tefillin today, I have in mind that I'm doing a mitzvah. If I'm not supposed to be wearing tefillin today, then I'm just wearing an amulet and I'm not yet to the mitzvah. And the minhag is not to say the bracha. Although my father-in-law used to say it, and that was the minhag Frankfurt, to say the bracha over the tefillin. Right, I'm coming now to Eretz Yisrael. When I was in my earlier days in Eretz Yisrael, the very first time I think I was there, and I went into a shul and nobody was wearing tefillin, so I thought, oh dear, I better find a minyan where somebody does wear tefillin. So I went from one shul to another and nobody was wearing tefillin, so I thought, I know what I'll do, I'll go to the kotel, I'm sure there'll be some people there wearing tefillin. And I went to the kotel, nobody was wearing tefillin, until I found out that nobody in Eretz Yisrael wears tefillin at all. That is the minhag Eretz Yisrael. And why is that? Because the Beis Yosef, who was in Tzfat, he instructed his followers, who were the Sfardim, and of course the Hasidim followed that, not to wear tefillin. And also of the Ashkenazim, the first ones who came to the Yishuv were the Talmidim of the Gro. And the Gro says you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Hence you got both the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
In public,
alright. Time is lacking, so I'm going to conclude. We've had four shiurim about tefillin. It's not everything. There's lots more that one can learn, especially the way it's written and the ksav and how each letter should be shaped, but that's really for another time. But an interesting idea, we get to this parsha in this week's Sedra, that the tefillin are placed al yodecho, on your hand, and al yodecho is spelt in a very unusual way. Yud, Dalad, Chof, Hey. Now normally Yodachoy is with a Chof at the end, but it's Yud, Dalad, Chof, Hey. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, Yod Chol with Kafe? Yod Kohot, the weak hands. To teach to you that you put tefillin onto the left hand rather than on the right hand, that's the tradition handed down. But the idea is that you put the tefillin neged halev, that the shel yad is next to your heart, and the shel rosh is, of course, on top of your brain. And this is the essence of Yiddishkeit. It is a combination between your heart and your brain. You need both. V'ohavto et Hashem Elokecho, Avat Hashem, Avat Yisrael, love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and love for His people Israel. That is the heart. And it's essential in Yiddishkeit to have the emotion. Without the emotion, your Yiddishkeit doesn't work. Similarly, you need to know what your mitzvahs are, you need to learn Torah Lishma, you need to use your brain, and you can rationalize, why am I doing this? You can understand with your emunah and your betochot what are the reasons for your Yiddishkeit. And it's a healthy thing to look at reasons for our mitzvahs. So you've got the combination of the intellect and the emotion, which is the most essential ingredient of Yiddishkeit. And another idea is, we've spoken about the shel yad being one long handwritten cloth, but the shel rosh is in different compartments. Unfortunately, amongst the Jewish people, we are in different compartments. People are saying that their hashkofa and their attitudes are one way, and others say their attitude is another way, and you've got the misnagdim, and you've got the hasidim, and you've got Chabad, and you've got the modern Orthodox. Everybody's got their different opinions. So we are divided when it comes to our attitudes, when it comes to our brain. But when it actually comes to doing with the hands, we all keep Shabbos. We all lay to fill it. I'm talking about the men. We all keep kosher. Taras HaMashpacha. The halachas are the same. It's just that the hashkofas might be different, but when it comes to doing, we are on one cloth, one hand. We are all united. As Hashem's got written in his tefillin, Umi ka'amcha Yisrael, goyachod ba'oretz. Thank you very much. Anana ben akash ravot ha-kodesh baruch hu lezak sefichah, em tam mitzvah shanam, an roi chafei tzlamam, tikeo, gil tarovi adir.